Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue, and he taught, and the people were astonished at his teaching, for Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. And all were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Jesus' fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Events in the world the history of the world occurred at 6:30 a.m. the morning of Tuesday, June 6, 1944. 7,000 ships carried 175,000 American, British, and Canadian soldiers to the Normandy coast of France to fight for the freedom of Europe from the Nazis and to fight for the freedom of the entire world. Years ago, I obtained cassette tapes that recorded the entire two-day CBS radio broadcast of that invasion. Famous newsman, one of my heroes, Robert Trout, was working late in the CBS New York studios when reports came in around 1 a.m. from German radio that an invasion was underway. Now, I have with me a placard. I got this from the Johnson, President Johnson Library, and I bought this through eBay for only like about $100 because there's only one of these. It's worth a mint. It all goes to the church. So let me show you my buddy Robert Trout and all these newsmen. We're broadcasting that day, most of them. You see, kids, Brian and Riley, before Facebook, before Instagram, they were these men. And this is how we got the news. And right there, wonderful hero, wonderful newsman. Of course, over here, that's Robert Trout. And down here is my ultimate idol, Walter Cronkite. Please bow your head. And then, over there in the corner, I love him, way across the glasses, Alexander Henry. What a name. My next cannonball, Alexander. And he used to broadcast on the radio. Charles Hollingwood is over there. And I have a picture of him. You're my dad. And so, I continue with the sermon. Back here. Okay, so, when I listened to those tapes, I shut off all the lights in my bedroom, and I concentrated on their voices, and it hit me what was going on when those tapes were made. 10,000 men died that day, on D-Day, Deliverance Day. My father was over in the Pacific in a submarine. He called it a tomb, and he was blowing up Japanese submarines. My uncle was in Germany. He was a tail runner. At the very end, everybody took shots at him, you know, the German planes. But he was considered a hero in his day. And when my uncle came back, you could never light firecrackers. PTSD. He never could take that. And so while Robert Trout is now broadcasting these reports from German radio, he was the only one in the studio. He happened to be there working late. And the only other person with him was the cleaning lady. And she was running a Hoover sweeper. And when you listen to this coast-to-coast national broadcast, you hear Robert Trout and a Hoover in the background going, not a very classy beginning of the saving of the world, but he reported it with the cleaning lady. And it just amazes me. That generation is the hero generation, the greatest generation. Those men, we had some parishioners who've been to Normandy. They said when they went through the graveyard of the soldiers who died that day, they cried. It's so moving. These heroes, each and every one of them, gave up their life so you and I could sit in this church today. Now today, Mark's story in the gospel. Jesus heals a man with an evil spirit. We could call this J-Day, Jesus Day. This, what you have heard, is the report in the Bible of the very first battle of Jesus fighting Satan for the liberation of human people. Jesus declared last week, Jesus says, "The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." And the good news is Jesus reaching out, God reaching out through Jesus with his hand to bring us to himself and to break the bonds of Satan. This is the very first battle. And Jesus goes headlong as he fights the demonic power. So my brothers and sisters, you hear today that this spirit took control of this poor man. And the spirit screams out from this man, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Mark 1:24, very important. I'll tell you why this is so important, this line. You see, in those days, by mentioning the name of your opponent, this gave you authority over your opponent if you knew his or her name. And so by mentioning the name of Jesus, the devil is trying to claim authority over Jesus. "I know who you are. You're Jesus. You're the Holy One. I know exactly who you are." And by saying that, he thought he had power over Jesus. But you see, well, let's put it this way. It's like when your mom catches you doing something bad and she calls you by your full name. Have you ever experienced that? Have you experienced that? There, yeah. What do you call when you're mad at him? What do you call him? Bryce Thomas. What have you done? My mother did that with me. Michael Allen, what have you done? And then I'd hide under the bed. So that's, you see, even today we do that. If you say the name, you have power over that person. But you see, Jesus, you can't have power over him. And Jesus was peeved. He was very angry that the devil was using the name of Jesus to drive that devil out of that man's body. The devil saying, I know your name. I know who you are. Jesus, I have power over you. I command you, Jesus, to be gone. You don't do that to Jesus. He was angry, peeved. The same word here, rebuke, is used when he drove out the oxen from the temple and the money tellers in the temple. Remember that? Made whips, you know? Drove out the, that's the same word. He was angry, and he angrily yelled at the devil. Now, I'm not going to use the polite words in the Bible. This is what Jesus really meant. When he yelled at the devil, he said, shut your darn mouth and get your sorry butt out of here. That's what he really meant. Can I get an amen? That's right. And then the devil, you know, the devil's a big baby. And the devil threw a baby temper tantrum, shaking and screaming that poor man. And then the devil left. He left. It's funny, the devil, Satan, was the first one to know the power of the kingdom of God and what it meant. And this is what it means. The reign of God, the kingdom, means that the reign of Satan's hatred over humans would crumble before the power of God's love. It is correct to say, and I'm not swearing to you, but it is correct to say that when Jesus came to earth, all hell broke loose. That's a literal statement, not figurative, literal. Jesus broke us loose from the hell of eternal suffering. Jesus broke us loose from the hell of eternal loneliness. And Jesus broke us loose from the hell of eternal despair. In 10 years of my life, I counseled so many people at the care unit in Cincinnati where drug addicts, alcoholics walk through the door. And I have counseled them to help them find sobriety. One of the best things I ever did with my life. And to a T, each one described their addiction as hell on earth. There's an important fact in this story that we must not forget. Jesus healed that possessed man. He healed him. The kingdom of God is revealed in healing. And Jesus yearns for you to give him authority over your life. Give him authority over you. Let him heal you. But here's the thing you may not realize. God allows you to have authority over him. You have power over God because he gave it to you. And how did he do that? God revealed his name. Jesus. Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus, God will personally come to you with a special blessing tailored just for you. Don't take my word for it. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14:13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. See? In my name. I'll do whatever you want. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. There is true power in the name of Jesus. And the very mention of the name Jesus will bring God's power directly to you to heal the messes in your life, the chaos in your life, the troubles that you face. Anybody here have all three? I have that every day. Michelle knows I have that every day. God sends Michelle to clean up my messes. Thank you very much. But we all have troubles. But when you say, you know, here's the most powerful prayer on the face of the earth. Three words. Jesus, help me. That's the most powerful prayer that I just said. Jesus, help me. And I cringe when I hear someone use the name of Jesus in vain. You know how people, like, you know, hit their thumb with a hammer and go, J.C., you know? No, I can't, I want to say it profanely. And when I hear something like that, where they use the name profane, I'll say a prayer to go with that. And I say, Jesus Christ, help that man. He needs it. You see, don't ever use it profanely. It's too sacred, too powerful a name to denigrate. Too powerful. I close with this story. I remember a powerful story in my 10 years at the care unit. The story of a man who was in the hell of addiction. He couldn't give up the beer. He didn't drink whiskey, didn't drink bourbon, no vodka, no tequila. He just drank beer, quote unquote. And he was living the country song. What made Milwaukee famous has made a loser out of me. That's a true song, you know. Have you heard that song, Jim? It's a great song. I remember that song. Because beer can be just as devastating. And, like, you know, he drank 16, 20 beers a day, morning through the night. And every morning he'd wake up with a hangover, bleary-eyed, and he would look into the bathroom mirror, and he would hate the face looking back at him. And he reached a point of losing everything. His wife, his kids, his job, his home, and his life. He told me, I reached bottom when I lost hope. I felt like no one cared for me anymore. And I saw my future as being alone, sucking on a beer bottle in a dark alley in Cincinnati. One day, I took a hot shower, and it steamed up the bathroom. I prayed in the shower. I haven't prayed in years, but I prayed in the shower. And I simply asked God, give me a sign that, God, you haven't rejected me, that you haven't rejected me like so many other people have. I turned off the water, and I got out of the shower. I grabbed a towel hanging on the wall. I turned around to look at the mirror that reflected my shame for far too many years. But this morning was different. A miracle happened. Etched into the steam on the mirror were the words, still love you. Still love you. I called my wife to come quickly upstairs. I asked, did you write this? She replied, yes, I wrote it for you while you were in the shower. I just felt you needed to know that. And I hope one day you could love yourself enough to get help. He said, I know God used her to give me this sign that he still loves me too. That day, Father Mike, was the first day of my sobriety. With God's help and AA, I have been sober for 20 years. Wow. All because of a steamed message, still love you. I believe that God can do for me and you what he cannot do, what we cannot do for ourselves. I'm going to close with this Protestant song. Let's see, here's my token Protestant. Hi, Bill. You're a Catholic now. But I know, Bill, you've heard this name. There's power in the blood. This song, right? Have you heard it? It's a good Baptist song. And the words are powerful. Catholics should be singing this. We need to sing this Lent sometime. There's power in the blood. And here it is. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. 20 minutes, that blood's coming right on that altar. And you're going to drink the power of the blood in Jesus Christ. A few minutes. One little postscript. Robert Trout, my hero, he had a very sad death. 91 years old. He's walking down the street of New York. He had a heart attack and fell on his face. But he was still alive. And some people called the 911, and they took him to the hospital. And he's laying on a gurney. One of the life squad members said, "Oh, we think he's one of the bums, the hobos from the street, one of the homeless." And he laid on that gurney for hours, and he died on the gurney. A hobo, a bum? I think not. So don't get wrapped up in your own importance. No one's that important down here. But in God's eyes, we're all important. And that's all that really matters. Thank you, Bob Trout, being a wonderful person in the life of our world. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.